This is the reading for May 5th, Psalm 125. Those who trust the Lord are like Mount Zion, which sits unmoved forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, the Lord surrounds his people now and forever. The wicked will not rule over those who do right. If they did, the people who do right might use their power to do evil. Lord, be good to those who are good, whose hearts are honest. But Lord, when you remove those who do evil, also remove those who stop following you. Let there be peace in Israel. Lord, bring your people back. 1 Samuel chapter 11. About a month later, Nahash the Ammonite and his army surrounded the city of Jabesh in Gilead. All the people of Jabesh said to Nahash, "Make a treaty with us, and we will serve you." But he answered, "I will make a treaty with you only if I'm allowed to poke out the right eye of each of you. Then all Israel will be ashamed." The older leaders of Jabesh said to Nahash, "Give us 7 days to send messengers through all Israel. If no one comes to help us, we will give ourselves to you." When the messengers came to Gibeah, where Saul lived, and told the people the news, they cried loudly. Saul was coming home from plowing the fields with his oxen when he heard the people crying. He asked, "What's wrong with the people that they are crying?" Then they told Saul what the messengers from Jabesh had said. When Saul heard their words, God's spirit rushed upon him with power, and he became very angry. He took a pair of oxen and cut them into pieces. Then he gave the pieces of the oxen to messengers and ordered them to carry them through all the land of Israel. The messengers said, "This is what will happen to the oxen of anyone who does not follow Saul and Samuel." So the people became very afraid of the Lord. They all came together as if they were one person. Saul gathered the people together at Bezek. There were 300,000 men from Israel and 30,000 men from Judah. They said to the messengers who had come, "Tell the people at Jabesh Gilead this: before the day warms up tomorrow, you will be saved." So the messengers went and reported this to the people at Jabesh, and they were very happy. The people said to Nahash the Ammonite, "Tomorrow we will come out to meet you. Then you can do anything you want to us." The next morning, Saul divided his soldiers into three groups. At dawn, they entered the Ammonite camp and defeated them before the heat of the day. The Ammonites who escaped were scattered. No two of them were still together. Then the people said to Samuel, "Who didn't want Saul as king? Bring them here and we will kill them." But Saul said, "No, no one will be put to death today. Today the Lord has saved Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let's go to Gilgal. There we will again promise to obey the king." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there, before the Lord, the people made Saul king. They offered fellowship offerings to the Lord, and Saul and all the Israelites had a great celebration. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Samuel said to all Israel, "I have done everything you wanted me to do, and have put a king over you. Now you have a king to lead you. I am old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader since I was young. Here I am. If I have done anything wrong, you must testify against me before the Lord and his appointed king. Did I steal anyone's ox or donkey? Did I hurt or cheat anyone? Did I ever secretly accept money to pretend not to see something wrong? If I did any of these things, I will make it right." The Israelites answered, "You have not cheated us or hurt us or taken anything unfairly from anyone." Samuel said to them, "The Lord is a witness to what you have said. His appointed king is also a witness today that you did not find anything wrong in me." "He is our witness," they said. Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who chose Moses and Aaron and brought your ancestors out of Egypt. Now stand there, and I will remind you of all the good things the Lord did for you and your ancestors." After Jacob entered Egypt, his descendants cried to the Lord for help. So the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who took your ancestors out of Egypt and brought them to live in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God, so he handed them over as slaves to Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and as slaves to the Philistines and the king of Moab. They all fought against your ancestors. Then your ancestors cried to the Lord and said, "We have sinned, we have left the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. But now save us from our enemies and we will serve you." So the Lord sent Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel. He saved you from your enemies around you and you lived in safety. But when you saw Nahash, king of the Ammonites, coming against you, you said, no, we want a king to rule over us. Even though the Lord your God was your king, now here is the king you chose, the one you asked for. The Lord has put him over you. You must honor the Lord and serve him. You must obey his word and not turn against his commands. Both you and the king ruling over you must follow the Lord your God. If you do, it will be well with you. But if you don't obey the Lord, and if you turn against his commands, he will be against you. He will do to you what he did to your ancestors. Now stand still and see the great thing the Lord will do before your eyes. It is now the time of the wheat harvest. I will pray for the Lord to send thunder and rain. Then you will know what an evil thing you did against the Lord when you asked for a king. Then Samuel prayed to the Lord, and that same day the Lord sent thunder and rain. So the people were very afraid of the Lord and Samuel. They said to Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for us, your servants. Don't let us die. We've added to all our sins the evil of asking for a king. Samuel answered, don't be afraid. It's true that you did wrong, but don't turn away from the Lord. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Idols are of no use, so don't worship them. They can't help you or save you. They are useless. For his own sake, the Lord won't leave his people. Instead, he was pleased to make you his own people. I will surely not stop praying for you, because that would be sinning against the Lord. I will teach you what is good and right. You must honor the Lord and truly serve him with all your heart. Remember the wonderful things he did for you. But if you are stubborn and do evil, he will sweep you and your king away.
Chapter 23.
Then the entire assembly stood up and took him to Pilate. They began to accuse Jesus by saying, we found that he stirs up trouble among our people. He keeps them from paying taxes to the emperor, and he says that he is Christ, a king. Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, I am, Jesus answered. Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, I can't find this man guilty of any crime. The priests and the crowd became more forceful. They said, he stirs up the people throughout Judea with his teachings. He started in Galilee and has come here. When Pilate heard that, he asked if the man was from Galilee. When Pilate found out that he was, he sent Jesus to Herod. Herod ruled Galilee and was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very pleased to see Jesus. For a long time he had wanted to see him. He had heard about Jesus and hoped to see him perform some kind of miracle. Herod asked Jesus many questions, but Jesus wouldn't answer him. Meanwhile, the chief priests and the scribes stood there and shouted their accusations against Jesus. Herod and his soldiers treated Jesus with contempt and made fun of him. They put a colorful robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. So Herod and Pilate became friends that day. They had been enemies before this. Then Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people. He told them, you brought me this man as someone who turns the people against the government. I've questioned him in front of you and haven't found this man guilty of the crimes of which you accuse him. Neither could Herod, so he sent this man back to us. This man hasn't done anything to deserve the death penalty, so I'm going to have him whipped and set free. The whole crowd then shouted, take him away! Free Barabbas for us! Barabbas had been thrown into prison for his involvement in a riot that had taken place in the city and for murder. But because Pilate wanted to free Jesus, he spoke to the people again. They began yelling, crucify him, crucify him. A third time Pilate spoke to them. He asked, why? What has he done wrong? I haven't found this man deserving of the death penalty, so I'm going to have him whipped and set free. But the crowd pressured Pilate. They shouted that Jesus had to be crucified, and they finally won. Pilate decided to give in to their demand. He freed Barabbas, who had been put in prison for rioting and murdering because that's what they wanted. But he let them do what they wanted to Jesus. As the soldiers led Jesus away, they grabbed a man named Simon, who was from the city of Cyrene. Simon was coming into Jerusalem. They laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd followed Jesus. The women in the crowd cried and sang funeral songs for him. Jesus turned to them and said, you women of Jerusalem, don't cry for me. Rather, cry for yourselves and your children. The time is coming when people will say, blessed are the women who couldn't get pregnant, who couldn't give birth, and who couldn't nurse a child. Then people will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. If people do this to a green tree, what will happen to a dry one? Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be executed with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him. The criminals were also crucified, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Meanwhile, the soldiers divided his clothes among themselves by throwing dice. The people stood there watching, but the rulers were making sarcastic remarks. They said, "He saved others. If he's the Messiah that God has chosen, let him save himself." The soldiers also made fun of him. They would go up to him, offer him some vinegar, and say, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." A written notice was placed above him. It said, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there insulted Jesus by saying, "So you're really the Messiah, are you? Well, save yourself and us." But the other criminal scolded him, "Don't you fear God at all? Can't you see that you're condemned in the same way that he is? Our punishment is fair. We're getting what we deserve, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "I can guarantee this truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." Around noon, darkness came over the entire land and lasted until 3 p.m. The sun had stopped shining. The curtain in the temple was split in two. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." After he said this, he died. When an army officer saw what had happened, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." Crowds had gathered to see the sight, but when all of them saw what had happened, they cried and returned to the city. All his friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance and watched everything. There was a good man who had God's approval. His name was Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish council, but he had not agreed with what they had done. He was from the Jewish city of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he took it down from the cross, he wrapped it in linen. Then he laid the body in a tomb cut in rock, a tomb in which no one had ever been buried. It was Friday, and the day of worship was just beginning. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed closely behind Joseph. They observed the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went back to the city and prepared spices and perfumes. But on the day of worship, they rested according to the commandment.